Verse number 1. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse number 1. As soon as you have it, you can stand up with me. When you really, really are in trouble, really, really in trouble, and you need some help, I want you all to remember. Remember. Isaiah chapter 7, beginning at verse 1, we're going to read the first 16 verses. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. Verse number 2. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz, and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, this name's a little difficult. Shear-ah-yah-shub. Interesting name for a kid. We'll get to that later. Your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway to the washer's field. Verse 4. And say to him, be careful, be quiet. Do not fear and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son Remaliah, because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. Uh-oh. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. Again, the Lord spake to Ahaz. Ask a sign of the Lord, of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted, will be deserted. For a brief title this morning, for a title rather to some brief words, I didn't hear nobody say amen. Okay, amen. Mercy from God. Mercy from God. Now, as a backdrop in
chapter number 6.
We come upon Isaiah, and he gets a chance to peek into the throne room of God. And he sees the Lord sitting on the throne, and he sees his train filling the temple.
Right.
And it's an interesting thing about the phrase, because if the train fills the temple, there ain't no room for nobody else in the temple but God. So Isaiah gets to look into this thing and see, and as it is, anytime you're in the presence of a holy God, and you are not absolutely righteous, you have to come up and say, Lord, I am undone. And I'm undone because, number one, I am a sinful man, and I have a dirty mouth, and I dwell among people that have dirty mouth. So the Lord, there's a coal taken off the altar, put on his mouth. God says that you're now purified. Go. That's chapter 6. And in chapter 7, we come upon Ahaz. He was most likely the most worst king Israel ever saw. And that's doing some running, Sister Elise, because there's Manasseh in the line. And Manasseh was a rough character, but this guy, Ahaz, it was actually said of him that he would allow his children to pass through the fire. That means that God Molech, he was doing child sacrifice, and Ahaz was in the middle of the thing. So interestingly enough, when Ahaz get in trouble because he don't really know God, listen, instead of him calling on God, you know who he called when he got in trouble? When he heard about this situation coming to storm Judah? You know who he called? He called down to Assyria. And this is what he did. This is an interesting thing. He not only called down to Assyria, but he went into the temple of God. He got some apparatuses and stuff out of the temple of God. He sent it down to Assyria along with stuff from the palace. Now, listen. This is the temple of God. You taking stuff out of the temple of God, sending it to somebody to secure some help. Is that still happening today? Number 2. Wouldn't you think the people of the same nationality would stick together, Pastor? Do you think that they would stick together? Now, if I'm a Jew, you a Jew, I think that we'd actually stick together. But you know what? Sin got a strange way of separating people. When sin get in, we may be of the same nationality, but I'm calling you trailer trash. Y'all catch what I'm saying? Amen. Now, Ahaz received a word that Ephraim and Syria are coming together. And he's shaking in his boots. Not only him who's shaking in his boots, but the people that are with him are shaking in their boots. Now that's a shame that a leader cannot guide his people and say, we gonna trust God. Don't worry, don't be afraid, we gonna trust God. But in the essence, when you don't know God, when you're going your own direction, little small stuff causes you to get off track. And then what happens when you get off track, you don't know where to go for help. I gotta admit, you all, my back was destroyed when I got up here. Lord have mercy.
Yeah.
But I can't feel a thing now. Yeah! I can't feel a thing now in Jesus' name. Now, they were allies. They and it's interesting. Sin kind of gets some interesting allies. There was another situation where allies who were opposed to each other came to each other, and it's found in the New Testament. You have the Pharisees, and then you have the scribes, right? And one said there is no resurrection, and other said there was, and they were opposed to each other. But if you have a common goal that you're trying to get rid of, hey, come on. Yeah. I may not like you, but hey, we can do this thing together.
I'm going to leave my glasses in.
I'm a blind man. He sends from hell. That's found in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 7. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 7. Let's go there. Have somebody read that for me. Big Darren, stand up and read that nice and loud for me. Second Kings chapter 16, verse 7. 2 Kings chapter 16, verse number 7.
So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath and Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me from the hand of the king of Syria and from the hand of the king of Israel, and who rise up against me.
Listen, nobody can save this country. The political system can't save this country. Huh? Whoever you elect into office can't save this country. Now, if we're looking at the wrong place, we're not going to get nothing. We have to trust God. If we're trying to get back straight again, God has to be the one that we look to. According to 2 Kings 16, 7, what the guy, he submitted himself to the king of Assyria. He not only submitted himself, but he submitted his resources to the king of Assyria.
Right.
Now, whenever you don't trust God in the help, your resources suffer, Pastor. You not only become subservient to it, but your money becomes subservient to it. And it just seems sometimes I have to talk to myself and ask myself, Darren, who in the world do you trust, Billy? Do you trust yourself to get you out of the situation, or are you trusting God? Ahaz was by the ductwork that brings water into the city. God gets the prophet Isaiah to go to the ductwork. Now, it's interesting. God is so merciful. He didn't call God for help. But since God is able and he knows all and he sees all, he sends the prophet without being asked for help to a place where somebody is trying to survey these conduits to make sure that when the city is sieged, they cut off everything to the city so that they can starve you out and you got to come out. But it's interesting, he tried to make his own thing at the conduit. Let me see here. Now, if the enemy get here, how can we fix this here? Now, God sent his servant to the conduit while he making his own plans, and then God give him his plan. Think about it. Didn't ask for God's help at all. But God is so bad, so good, so merciful, until oftentimes we don't know when we need help. And he's so bad, he just sent help anyway.
All right.
Amen.
All right.
Yes, he does.
So if I'm sick and I'm jacked up and I can't ask for God, I tell you what, he's able.
Uh-huh.
He sends Isaiah. He not only sends Isaiah, but he says, take your son too. Now, isn't that kind of interesting that the prophet would take his son with him? In the job of being a prophet, kind of a solitary job. But God said, take your son with you. And it's interesting because the son's name is kind of hard to pronounce. But the actual meaning of the name is, a remnant shall return. So now, he stands before Ahab, tells him what thus saith the Lord, with his boy. I'm not sure if the king asked him, who's this with you? Your apprentice? No, this is my son. And he gives him his name. It says, a remnant shall return. While you quaking in your boots, while you quaking in your boots, God done already worked it out. If you look at the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Hebrew names, you might be a little surprised because their Hebrew names suggest that God is their help. God is their source. You may give me a Babylonian name, but I tell you what, my name still means God is what? My help. He is my strength. He sent a boy. He had the conduit, still trying to make his own plan. The prophet go with his boy. Let's get back to the text. I want to be up here all day because I don't want to see nobody sleep. God says, stop being afraid. Be careful. Stop being afraid. Let me give you one scenario. I had a trouble. Just a little bit of trouble when I was in school from a bigger guy. I wish I could see him not blind. Anyway. I was a smaller guy. He was a bigger guy. And my brother Michael was bigger than him. He said, man, this guy is messing with me. He said, okay. Now, when you go up to him, don't say I'm here. Okay. All right. So I go up to him, Pastor. Now, my confidence was not in me being able to handle a guy. My confidence was in my brother who was behind me. Nobody knew nothing, but he was behind me. And that's the same way it is. Stop being afraid because I'm greater than your problem. Yes. Amen. I'm greater than your problem. Stop being afraid. Amen. Stand up and get to that problem and say, what you gonna teach me today? Because you sure can't destroy me.
Yeah.
Because who's behind me? Interesting enough, God told Ahaz through the prophet, I know the whole plan. I even know some stuff you don't know. This is what I know that you don't know. When they come to get you, when they come to take everything from you, what their design is that they want to put somebody else in your state. They want to set you up as a they want to get you out, and they want to get them a straw boss in there. You don't know the whole story, but I know the whole story. That's why we have to trust God, because he knows the whole story. I'm trying to fix it up and work it out and do it my own way, and God knows the whole story. It's interesting that in the book of Acts, they were doing all kind of marvelous works, giving the word of God, and man, But they were also doing something else other than giving the word of God. Great signs and wonders were following them. And the signs were really denoted to say that what I've just said to you is the truth. It's the fact. Now God talks to Ahaz through the prophet. And he said, if you don't believe me, ask me for a sign. Mm-hmm. Ask me for a sign. And it's interesting that when he said, ask me for a sign, he said, and don't be stingy about it either. Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what the text says when it says, Sheol, as deep as you want to go and high as you want to go, ask me what you need.
Amen.
Ask me what you want to see. And as it is, if you don't know God, you think he's being righteous and pious. You say, I'm not going to test you. You God. Really. Your actions previous to that says that there is no God. And that you are your own God because you're trying to make your own way. God says simply, since you don't want to test me, since you don't want to trust me, let me give you a sign.
Mm.
And the sign, let me read that. I think I'll make a few comments and then I'll be through in a minute. Verse number 14. The Bible says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted during the Christmas season is what you are, God with us. Now, why would God give him a sign of a future event happening and he got a present now problem? That sign that he gave him was good for Ahab. Number one, whatever God has said is already like it's been done already. That's why Ahaz was still alive. Because he was so bad until I would have thought, let the people come in and kill him because he's the worst guy yet. But the mercy from God, says instead of killing you, I'm going to provide you a way for life.
Yeah.
Not only for you, but I'm looking into the future.
Yeah.
The future says that Billy McCauley's going to need a savior.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give you an answer that's going to answer him.
Yeah.
That's going to set him free.
Yeah.
We talked last week about the creation account, about especially verse 15, which was a promise of the seed of the woman. Again, in God's sign, he says, a virgin shall conceive. That means without a man's assistance. A virgin shall conceive. You think you got an issue, but I got a problem, a answer that's bigger than all the stuff that you got going on now. Mercy. Mercy. And it's a blessing from God that all the songs have been directed at help. My help. Is I know exactly where it comes from. When the storms rise, Jesus in the boat with them disciples, and I mean this storm is bad. The storm is so bad until the water is actually coming in the boat. And Jesus, using today's vernacular, somebody might woke up and say, Jesus, are you tripping? Do you see that water's actually coming in the boat? We're perishing. What are you doing? But an interesting thing, when Jesus is in the boat, there is no perishing. There is always life, no matter what the problem, circumstance, no matter what it is, as long as he's in the boat with you, according to the word of God, you are, well, safe. If you will remember, if you will trust God, that's my only reason for being up here this morning, is to encourage you to trust God on a deeper level. And if you trust him on a deeper level, you all just understood that Ahab didn't ask for no help, and God had help. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You just gave us a small glimpse of who you are and the mercy that you provide. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, help us now to, when those waves rise and the billows rise, to focus on who is really in the boat with us, number one. And number two, to know exactly where our help comes from. And Lord, by your spirit, burn it into our hearts. Give us the ability now to live according to your word. No matter what the situation is, to live according to your word. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take a moment to reflect.